News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Irfan Khan lost his battle with a rare form of cancer and died in a Mumbai hospital on Wednesday. He was 54. Irfan, one of India's finest and most versatile actors, is survived by his wife Shutapa and his sons Babil and Ayan. He was buried at the Versova graveyard. Several celebrities including Vishal Bhardwaj, Tigmanshu Dhulia, Mika Singh and Kapil Sharma attended the last rites of the actor to pay their respects. It is the second tragedy for the family in less than a week. The Maqbool actor lost his mother, 95-year-old Saeeda Begum, in Jaipur just 4 days ago and could not attend the funeral because of the nationwide lockdown. Irfan, that rare artist who straddled multiple worlds, making his mark in both international and Indian cinema in roles intense and light-hearted, was admitted to the intensive care unit of the Kokilaben Dhirubhai Ambani Hospital with a colon infection. News of the death of the actor, who was diagnosed with neuroendocrine tumor in 2018, a rare form of cancer that attacks various parts of the body, was confirmed by his family in a statement. There was an outpouring of grief from various quarters, including politicians and civil servants, as well as his colleagues and his many fans. Prime Minister Narendra Modi said Irfan will be remembered for his versatile performances across different mediums. His demise is a loss to the world of cinema and theatre, Modi wrote on Twitter. My thoughts are with his family, friends and admirers. May his soul rest in peace, the Prime Minister said. The news of his death was first confirmed by his PICU director Shujit Sarkar, who sent his condolences to the family and doffed his hat to the actor's fighting spirit. My dear friend Irfan, you fought and fought and fought. I will always be proud of you. We shall meet again. Condolences to Shutapa and Babil. You too fought. Shutapa, you gave everything possible in this fight. Peace and Om Shanti. Irfan Khan, salute, the director said on Twitter. It was on March 5, 2018 that Irfan revealed that he was suffering from a rare disease. In a philosophical note to his fans on Twitter, the actor wrote, "Sometimes you wake up with a jolt with life shaking you up. The last 15 days, my life has been a suspense story. Little had I known that my search for rare stories would make me find a rare disease. I have never given up and have always fought for my choices and always will," he had said. 10 days later, the actor shared that he had been diagnosed with a neuroendocrine tumor and would go abroad for the treatment. He returned home in 2019 and managed to shoot for Angrezi Medium, the sequel to his 2017 hit Hindi Medium. The film, which hit the theatres in March just before the lockdown that began on March 25, turned out to be his last cinematic outing. Irfan won the Best Actor National Award for his performance in 2012's biographical drama Pan Singh Tomar. The actor was honoured with Padma Shri in 2011. And police in Kashmir opened fire on a violent mob attempting to seize the body of a slain jihadist killed in a shootout with security forces, government sources have told News 18. Local resident Shah Nawaza Koka sustained gunshot injuries to both legs, becoming the first civilian injured in the use of live ammunition by police since Article 370 was rolled back in August. The stone-throwing mob was seeking to prevent the body of Burhan Majid Koka, the commander of Ansar Ghazwat-ul-Hind, Al-Qaeda's regional affiliate in Kashmir, from being moved from the site of the shootout in his native village of Milhura near Shopian in southern Kashmir. Earlier this month, as first reported by News 18, the authorities in Jammu and Kashmir initiated a policy of conducting the last rites of bodies of terrorists killed in combat rather than handing them over to families, a move intended to prevent pro-jihadist rallies that have erupted in parts of southern Kashmir in recent weeks. Late on Wednesday afternoon, police sources said about 1,500 people gathered to stage a Ghaibana Namaz-e-Janaza or funeral rites held without the presence of the body of the deceased in Malhora. The sources said smaller mobs also attacked traffic near a railway crossing in Naina Bhatpura near Shopian. Another local resident, identified by hospital authorities as Mohammad Asif, received injuries from birdshot, pellets fired from a riot-controlled shotgun, on his upper body, government sources said. Koka, police said, was buried with full religious rites at a graveyard elsewhere in South Kashmir. The 56th jihadist killed in a series of exceptionally successful counter-terrorism operations since January, Koka was appointed head of the Ansar Ghazwatul Hind in October after the killing of his predecessor, Abdul Hamid Loon, also known as Abdul Hamid Lalhari. Both men were close associates of the Ansar Ghazwatul Hind's founder, Zakir Bhatt, also known as Zakir Musa, who was killed in May 2019. The official Twitter handle of the President of the United States of America, the White House, and the POTUS himself, Donald Trump, have now unfollowed Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Twitter. This comes days after the Twitter handle for the White House began following a number of Indian handles, which included that of PM Modi, the Indian Embassy in the US, President Ramnath Kovind, and a few others. The number of accounts followed by the White House had risen to 19, and the internet was quick to point out the extra love for India. Now the number has gone back to 13, and the only handles that the White House is following is that of Trump and a few other handles related to the US administration. However, it is now not clear as to why the White House unfollowed the Indian Prime Minister on Twitter, and if the move can be seen as a reflection of bitter relations between India and America. Artificial intelligence is rapidly changing the world, and it is being believed that by 2050 the effects of AI would be felt in every sphere of human lives. Now David Wood, president of the London Futurists and treasurer of the Transhumanist Party UK, has said robots might be carrying out all human tasks by the end of 2050, and 10% of that would be accomplished by 2025. In an interview with express.co.uk, Wood said, "I believe there's a 50% chance of artificial general intelligence, and hence the possibility of robots doing all human tasks, by the middle of the century, and I've said there's about a 10% chance we might have this by 2025. Artificial general intelligence is capable of understanding or learning intellectual tasks that a human being can. It is one of the primary goals of artificial intelligence research. Wood said that people should use technology to artificially improve their biological capabilities. He added that human biology has greater deficiency in comparison to technology being developed by humans. He added that if humans don't improve their capabilities, they would turn out to be dangerous for people. We have parts of our human nature which were okay in early evolutionary times. They probably had an advantage in early evolutionary times, but which now are terrible dangers to us," told Wood, adding, "So we have to figure out how do we control these tendencies before we allow others to magnify these impulses with the horrific technology that we have today and produce devastating consequences." And scientific investigation of Vermeer's Girl with a Pearl Earring, one of the most famous paintings in the world, has revealed elements that make her more personal, even if her identity remains a mystery. The Morishau's Art Museum, where the painting is housed, announced on Tuesday that the examination, the first on this Dutch masterpiece since 1994, has revealed the presence of tiny eyelashes around the eyes of the girl, invisible to the naked eye. Research also established the existence of a green curtain in the seemingly empty background of the painting, dating from 1665, a sort of folded fabric that has faded to black over the centuries. Researchers and art lovers around the world have long been fascinated by the Dutch master's painting of this young woman with an enigmatic look, wearing a blue and yellow turban, a heavy pearl hanging from her ear. It has inspired further artworks, notably Tracy Chevalier's novel The Girl with the Pearl Earring, which gave rise to a film in 2003 starring Scarlett Johansson and Colin Firth. The results of the Girl in the Spotlight research project, which used non-invasive imaging and scanning techniques, digital microscopy and paint sample analysis, offers a glimpse of a much more personal painting than previously thought, the Hague's Morishau said. The review, conducted by an international team of scientists from February 2018, shed new light on the use of pigments and how Vermeer developed his work using different layers. The Grandmaster, for example, modified the composition of the painting, shifting the position of the ear, the top of the scarf, and the nape of the neck. He also used raw materials from around the world, including the semi-precious stone lapis lazuli from Afghanistan, to make ultramarine, which was more precious than gold in the 17th century. "The pearl itself is an illusion," says the Morishau's, "made up of translucent and opaque touches of white paint. while the hook is missing. The examination did not, however, identify the girl or establish whether she really existed or if she is the product of the imagination of Vermeer. The girl hasn't revealed the secret of her identity yet, but we got to know her a little better, said museum director Martin Josling. This is not the end point of our research, she said. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.